And this morning, we're going to talk about gratitude. We're going to talk about gratitude is, and we're going to cover a couple things on really what it is to truly be thankful. We're going to hit this for 2 weeks, this week and next week. Very excited about this because this is what I believe. I believe that we're going to have breakthrough this morning. I believe when you understand the couple things that God has said so much in regards to a thankful heart, so much about praise, so much about gratitude. When you get this, when you, by the end of this morning, when you understand the reality of what it is to be grateful, there'll be a breakthrough in who you are, in your personality. There'll be a breakthrough in the very DNA that you're made up of. When you really see how critical it is for you and I to give thanks. See, we say it around the table and we say grace and we say thanks and but I'm talking about that true inner spirit of gratitude where it just oozes out. Have you ever been around those people that you just know, man, there's just something, nothing phases these people. Man, they go through seasons of life and they get down, but they get up quick. And it's just like water off a duck's back. Because this is what I believe. I believe there's so much about having an attitude of gratitude, so much about our inner fiber being made up of being thankful. That it just, it changes how we view things, changes how we treat and how we look at our relationships that we have. So man, if you are with this place this morning, I've been asking God this week that there would seriously be a breakthrough as we leave this place. When you see the reality of what God says about being thankful, come on, it'll change us. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. It is alive and powerful. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this place. We thank you for all those who choose to be here. God, we have worshiped you. We thank you that you are the great I am. We thank you for providing a place for us for an eternity for those who believe and trust in you. And Father, we thank you for the guidance of your word. Father, I'm asking that by your Holy Spirit, you pinpoint this message to every individual heart that walks in this place, God, today. Father, please move in this place in a powerful way. God, that we would have an ear to hear from you this morning. God, we'd have an eye to see exactly what we need to see. That we'd be open, God, open to hear from you, open to an eye to see. And God, that our hearts would be hungry for truth this morning. God, we've come in this place not to check a box. God, we've come in this place to encounter with you and walk out of this place full of you, different than when we walked in this place. Changed, God, seeing things from your perspective this morning. So, Father, please move in this place. That God, that you would speak to us this morning. Now, folks, I ask that you would ask God. God, give me an ear to hear. Give me an eye to see this morning. God, I need to hear from you today. God, I need to hear from you today. Speak into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Folks, we don't come to church here to check a box. We come to church to be changed and washed. And we come to church to walk out different. And so excited about God's truth and God's word and having the ability to worship him and give great thanks. So two places this morning, please. Colossians, or turn to Hebrews 13, 15 and put a marker at Hebrews 13, 15. And then find Colossians 2. And we're going to start in Colossians 2 and we're going to end in Hebrews 13. So starting in Colossians 2, we're going to end in Hebrews 13. Two places this morning. You know, when you really get in to biblical study on giving thanks, it is from beginning to end. It is everywhere interweaved into the very fiber of these men and women of God and the very fiber of what God says, be thankful. It's like it is a command from God. Be thankful. Be thankful. It's who we are to be, our people who are thankful. So let me ask you a serious question. Are you known? Do people in your influence circle, people in your workplace, people in your home, are you known as one who has this sense of gratitude about them? Has a sense that you are thankful for your job, you are thankful for your boss, you are thankful for your spouse, you are thankful for the gifts within your children? And you have this sense of complaining, being critical, being envious, being jealous, things at work are never good enough for you, things at home are never good enough for you. I mean, You look at this life you have and it's a great life, but it's just not good enough because someone else has something else. And that someone else who has something else is something that you want. Or you get jealous. I want to be like that person. Why is that person doing that? But folks, the breakthrough this morning is this. When you recognize and understand what God says about gratitude, you won't be looking at what somebody else has. You'll be thankful for what you have. You won't be looking at how bad your job is. You'll be thankful that you are able to put food on the table. Please, this is real. I was union president for several years. You're going to complain about what? Seriously? I mean, that's just like ridiculous. Well, we got a union and we can... You picked the wrong guy for president because we're not... What are you talking about? No. I mean, it's ridiculous, gang. There's a place for unions and that's fantastic. But there's also a place for being amazed and thankful that that company saw good in you enough to hire you. Instead, they could have hired somebody else. Don't forget that. You went for an interview, so did four other people, and they picked you. I think you should give thanks for that, right? When you really break it down. When you are around people who have a sense of gratitude and it just oozes out of them, those are people that you want to be around. Those are people who aren't jealous. They're not critical. They're not complaining. They don't have these things where I want what you've got. And then there's things that come in between people. It's just like, what? It's a serious, serious issue this morning. That's why we've got to approach this in a way of what God says about gratitude. And what when you begin to break down, we don't have time to hit it all, but when you begin to break down what surrounds the words of being thankful, you'll see you're not going to have anxiety. You're going to see you're going to walk in peace. You're going to see that you're going to have a joy that is going to shout and sing. And you're going to see this morning, that in the middle of all of these words, be thankful. Isn't that amazing that in the center of not having worry, not having confusion, but being at rest, being at peace, walking in a place of joy, not walking in a place of depression, right in the middle of that, you and I are called to be thankful. God is very strategic, folks, in what it is to really give thanks. Why is it so easy to complain and criticize? Why is it so easy to be the wet blanket on a great day? Come in, everybody's saying, man, this is awesome. Well, I don't like this about it. Okay, 45 people thought it was great, and you're the wet blanket. Well, guess who's not grateful? Man, it's easy to be critical, and it's easy to complain. Why is it at times difficult to really be thankful? Because we're always fighting the flesh, folks. And when you are thankful, when you are giving thanks, then it means it's not about you. Self wants it my way. Self wants it, well, I don't like that, so I think you should change. Self is very critical. Self is envious. Self is very jealous. That's self. But a gratitude, a sense, and just this presence of gratitude within you is a fight against the flesh. Over and over and over and over and over, we're told to be thankful. And there is a powerful, incredible result. There is great fruit when you really come to a place to be thankful. And it's amazing that we just skip over this. I mean, I try to preach on it often because I think I see the reality of what the Scripture says. I mean, when we talk about praise and worship, the word praise, it means to give thanks. It means to act out on your thankfulness. That's what we do. When we praise God, when we're praising Christ Jesus, thanking God for what, that's praise. That's acting out our thankfulness, showing our thankfulness. That's what praise is. So we do it every weekend. But is that just a song or is that a reality that we are acting out on our thankfulness and that it overflows in every area of life? Come on, look at this. Colossians 2. Gang, we won't break through this morning in this. This is not just a small issue. Oh, good, we get to preach on thankfulness. This, please, when you understand what it is in being grateful, that it is who you are, that your life is one of giving thanks. Someone even just said this morning that I want to live a life of thanksgiving, not just thanksgiving. That it is just a day after day after day after day of thanksgiving. Powerful. Water off a duck's back for someone who walks in a way of life of thanksgiving. And not just when something good happens, oh, I'll be thankful. Man, we're going to get into I want you to think on your relationships. I want you to think on your husband and your wife. I want to think on your children. I want to think on the parents who are older watching their kids walk through their lives. Listen, I grew up with an amazing dad. I mean, it blows me away when he says, Sean, and this is no hit on him because I don't even know if I agree with it, but he says, Sean, you're a better parent than I was. You're a better dad than me. Like, Dad, you're top notch. I mean, look at the evidence in the boys, Dad. I mean, I grew up in a house that was a disciplined house. I grew up in a house with, as you know from last week, two other brothers. You got three boys in the house. Man, we got on each other. We had fun together, and then we didn't like each other. We had fun together, and we didn't like them. I mean, we had wars, man. And Mom broke so many stupid wooden spoons. Like, the spoon thing ain't working, Mom. I mean, it's just not happening with the three boys. And then Dad says, I'll fix that. And then the belt comes off, and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said anything, right? You're like, And the belt comes off, and you're like, oh. But I grew up in a home that understood biblical discipline, and that was great. But how many times as parents are we jealous of where our kids are? And we're not amazed at what God has done in their life. We're not amazed at all that God is doing in their life between a husband and a wife and raising up godly children. I mean, I was raised in an amazing home, and my dad is like, Sean, I am so proud of you. Listen, I call my dad at the end of almost every service, and he says, Sean, I'm proud of you. He's not jealous because I'm up front. He's not jealous because of what we're doing in ministry here. He's amazingly thankful for all that God is doing in my home. But how many times do parents with their adult children become jealous because of where God has them compared to where God had them? That's nuts. Jealousy is a sickness, folks. It's terrible. Envy is terrible. You can't be that way if you're overflowing with gratitude. You can't. They don't mix. So I'm going to challenge you this morning. This is a serious deal. We're not here to, oh, let's be thankful, great. We're here to say, God, if I am not thankful, if I am not bubbling over with gratitude, like I am supposed to be, then change me. Then I repent. Then, God, I need to ask for forgiveness, and I need to change. That's serious stuff, folks. Look at this. Come on, Colossians 2. This is, I want you to see this. Point number one is this. Gratitude is part of your spiritual DNA. When you see how deep-rooted gratitude is in for us who believe, for us who have asked Christ to live in our lives, us who have asked Jesus and God Almighty to forgive us of our sin, recognizing old is gone, new is come, recognizing I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, there is something supernatural taking place in me that I am not the same. God is rearranging who I am. Old is gone, new has come. And a part of that change, folks, you're going to see it this morning. We're going to go over different things of what Paul is speaking out to the Colossian church, of what the spiritual DNA looks like of the believer. When you recognize this, this isn't just something you just skim over, man. It's supposed to be who you are. Look at this. Come on, verse 5. For even though I am absent in body, this is Paul writing this letter to the church, to the Christians, to the believers in the Colossian church. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Good discipline or good order or steadfastness. These are, Paul chooses to use military terms here. For if verse 4 is talking about those who would not persuade you with bad arguments or with things that are not biblical sound or not truth. He says, listen, you have to stand in good order against these things, any false teachers. You got to walk steadfast in your faith. These are military, this is huge, military terms to stand against anyone who would try to come persuade you with something that's not truth. So our spiritual DNA as believers should be ones who are walking in good order or good discipline and walking in such a steadfastness, no matter what or how many people believe anything other than this, I will not be persuaded. This is deep stuff, man. Look at this. Come on. Verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. Third part of our spiritual DNA is that we would walk in Him. Highlight that, because that means that He would lead us. We would be led, walking in Him, that we would be led by Him. I think there's a serious problem in the church as a whole today, as people think Jesus is supposed to follow them. That Jesus will do whatever they ask Him to do, because Jesus, now I'm in and you just can follow me and I'll lead. One of the dumbest bumper stickers, there's so many dumb bumper stickers, but one of the top is Jesus is my co-pilot. You idiot. Jesus is driving. Come on. Why don't you get in the driver's seat and let Jesus is my co-pilot. Like, Jesus, I'll take you wherever. Baloney. Jesus is to lead and we're to follow Jesus. Seriously, if you have that bumper sticker on your car, think about that. Jesus is my co-pilot. Really? Because I've surrendered to Him, and I'd rather Him drive my way of life. I'd rather Him drive me around, that I know where I'll be, where I'm supposed to be, if I'm following Him. Crazy. But this is the spiritual DNA, man. This is how serious this is. Look at this. Verse 7, having firmly rooted. Listen, having been firmly rooted and being built up in Him. Being firmly rooted, that is a tree with deep roots. Look at how he's talking about the foundation here. He's talking about our spiritual DNA, is that you and I are to build such a solid foundation that no matter what the winds come, no matter that the waves come, no matter what season of life we ever go through, we are firmly rooted. Man, the deeps go root, and the roots go deep, and we have this serious, solid foundation. And then he talks about a building. Being built up, that's the foundation. That's a building. No matter what takes place in my life, I will not be shaken. Part of our spiritual DNA. And established or fixed in your faith. Look at this. No matter what anyone ever teaches you, you will never be persuaded from the truth. No matter what your walk of life is, you're letting Him lead. No matter what season of life you'll ever go through, no matter the weather, the storm, you are built on solid foundation and you will not be shaken. And you have such a fixed, established, set faith. Just as you were instructed, look at this, and, what's the last part of your spiritual DNA? And, overflowing, or abounding, in what? I mean, does that seem out of place with the serious list? Well, of course I give thanks. Does that seem out of place when he's talking about you not ever being persuaded on anything other than truth? That's serious. How many people do you know have walked away from this because they've heard something else and they began to follow that? I can't tell you how many times we've had people here in this church who've heard this and been here for a season who are now Buddhist. What? You were persuaded, man. You followed something other than this. Serious, serious issue. How many of those who have been through a season of life and they've given up on faith because they didn't build the right foundation? Serious. And he puts right in the spiritual DNA that we are to overflow. Folks, when something overflows, it affects things around it. It affects something other than itself. Think about that. You keep pouring water in your glass and it overflows. It's going to hit the counter and everything else on the counter. And he says, you are to have an effect. You are to overflow with gratitude. I mean, seriously, I'm studying this and I'm looking at this going, man, God takes us being gratitude a very serious thing. He puts it in such a serious list of who we are to be as ones who follow and love Jesus, that we are to overflow. Let me ask you, do people who know you say that you overflow with gratitude? Man, I love to be around that person because there is just this thing about them that, man, I just love to be around them. Or are you critical, complaining? Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without complaint. We're going directly against what God said. Jealous, envious? Or do you overflow so it affects the people around you with the sense of being thankful? What? See, those are people I like to be around. I don't like negative people. I spend very little time, unless it's guidance, with negative people. I grew up in a house, Dad says, no stinking thinking. I mean, we wouldn't even enter our home, folks. Seriously, it was stopped at the door. If we tried to bring it in, he'd lock the door. Change it before you get in this house. Because we are ones who are to overflow with gratitude. And it will have an impact and an effect on the people around you. See, it's a part of who we are. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Look at Philippians 4. Again, thanksgiving's right in the middle. Look at this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But what's right in the middle of that? Thanksgiving. Being thankful, that would just be a part of who you are. It would be a part of your spiritual DNA, would be to give thanks. Serious. Come on, Hebrews 13, please. Second point to this message is this, that gratitude is, being thankful should be the fruit of your lips. Look at this, Hebrews 13, 15. Through him, that's Jesus, let us continually, this word continually, it means continually. Let it not just be a once in a while thing, let it be a continuous thing. Well, what is that? To offer up a sacrifice of praise. The word praise here, it means the act of thanksgiving. Showing that I am thankful. Being thankful. Over and over and over and over. Continuously giving praise. Continuously showing my act of being thankful. Just how grateful, just how thankful I am. It should show up. Folks, it should show up in our lives. It should show up in our praise. It should show up in our worship. It should show up in our checkbooks. It should show up in our families. It should show up in our homes. It should show up on how we treat our wives. It should show up on how we treat our husbands. It should show up on how we treat our kids. Continuously, over and over and over, acting out on our thankfulness. Just how thankful are you, folks? How grateful are you for Jesus? Serious question. Through him, let us consistently mean to be consistent. Offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, now look at this, highlight this, the fruit of the lips that give thanks to him. The fruit of the lips that give thanks. Folks, what is it that rolls off your lips? You overflow so much that from the heart, the mouth speaks, and that your heart is one that is so full of gratitude and thanksgiving that it is rolling off your lips? Or is it negative? Or is it critical? Or is it jealousy? Or is it anger? Or is it envy? Or is it, what is it that rolls off your tongue? Because that's the matter of your heart. And here's what's supposed to be the fruit of our lips is to give thanks. Come on, Colossians 3 says this. Let the peace of God, again, peace of God surrounded with being thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word, rolling off the fruit of our lips, the fruit of our mouth, the words that we speak or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now, gang, there's so much in this verse. We got to look at this. What is in the middle of being thankful? Peace. Peace of Christ would just rule. It would own your heart, which indeed you were called in one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another. Gang, that is teaching, admonishing one another. That is words that we would speak to one another. And singing, that is full of joy, gang. That's words that we sing, cry out. Fruit of the lips are what? Giving thanks in your hearts to God. From the heart, the mouth speaks. So much to the power of our words. So much to words we speak. Show us who we really are. So many people don't want to believe that. Doesn't take long to figure out where somebody's at if you just listen to them. They're always complaining, always critical, being the wet blanket, always putting people down. Always, it's not difficult to say, man, you're in a very sad place. Because your heart is full of being critical and negativity. The Bible says this, when you are overflowing with thanksgiving, you'll walk in peace. And listen, there's seasons of life, no question, but we still overflow with thanksgiving in the seasons of life. You as a believer, you always have something to be thankful for. Oh, you are saved. You are forgiven. You are set free. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. Gang, the whole big picture is God loves me. I'm thankful. No matter what's going on, I have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. And it causes us to sing with thankfulness in your heart. Why? Because that's where you are so grateful. It comes from the heart and out of the mouth. Amazing, folks. Come on, Ephesians 5 says almost the same thing. I want you to see this. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Speaking to one another, the fruit of the lips, folks. What rolls off our tongue? Speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, that's joyful. Making melody with your heart. Man, that is a joyful heart that makes melody to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of Lord Jesus Christ to God. Now look at this. Look at Ephesians 5, 4. And there must be no filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather, look at he says, be so careful on what comes out of your mouth. All of that shouldn't be. What should be is you're to give thanks. Look at where God puts this, gang. It's a serious, serious deal because when you're overflowing with gratitude, it affects almost every area of your life. It will affect every relationship you have. Does your wife know that you're amazed and that you are thankful that she is your wife and God gave you her as a gift? Or is that Thanksgiving dinner the most amazing dinner of her year because that's the one time that she hears her husband say that I am thankful for my wife? Seriously. Is that the wife's favorite meal? Because that's the one time she knows that she'll hear out of her husband's lips that he's thankful for his wife? Because that's what he's supposed to say, because that's what everyone else said. Seriously? Does your husband know how amazed you are that he is your provider and he is your protector? And he's doing everything he can to love you and care for you. Does he know how grateful you are to your husband? Do your kids know how amazing they are Do your kids know that even when you fail, even when you screw up, even when you don't score the 10 touchdowns, even, man, I'm so proud of you. Do they know how amazingly thankful you are? The Bible says that your children are a gift from the Lord. Are you overflowing in gratitude towards your children? Young people, teenagers, are you overflowing with gratitude towards your parents who work so hard, who have brought you to a church that's going to love Jesus and care for you and love you, who are providing for you and doing everything they can for you? Do you overflow with gratitude towards your parents? Folks, this isn't just a seasonal thing. I want us to get up in the morning and be thankful. I can honestly tell you, most days of every week, I wake up and literally the first thing, Christ is on my mind. And I'm amazed that He loves me, and I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful. Renee sleeps, and I lay in bed, and I'm praying, and I'm thankful, and I watch her sleep. And I'm, Lord, thank you for my wife. Lord, I'm amazed that she loves me. Thank you for my bride. Day after day after day, when she sleeps, I'm giving thanks. Watch my kids sleep and just walk by the room. God, I'm amazed that you blessed me with these three amazing gifts. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you've done in our lives for these kids. And it's not seasonal. That's almost morning after morning after morning after morning. Amazed at what God has done for me. Matthew, just bow your heads, please. Folks, if you want a breakthrough, and you know that God has really pinpointed things in your life about a critical spirit, about being the one who brings the complaint. You got a great job, but it's not good enough. You're always complaining at work, complaining at home. Nothing's good enough. Everyone else is excited about something, and you come in and you're the wet blanket. You're not overflowing with gratitude, and it's supposed to be part of our spiritual DNA. What are the words that roll off your tongue? You can change the atmosphere of your home by being so thankful for your home, for your husband, for your wife, for your kids. You can change the atmosphere of your home for being thankful for all that you do have. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, great gain is from those who are content. That's great gain. That's great gain. It's for those who are content. Content means satisfied. That's what an amazing, great place to be, folks. To be content and satisfied. Father, we just ask, and in this moment, that you just continue to speak in our hearts. And Father, if there's things in our world that just we know that are not pleasing, or we know that we've allowed a critical sense to come in, we've allowed this negativity creep in, God, this is such a serious deal that, God, this morning there can be breakthrough. This morning we can see clearly that, God, our spiritual DNA, what we're made of, is to overflow so that my gratitude affects everyone, God, in my world. That it's not my sense of being critical. It's not my sense of complaining. It's not my sense of envy. It's not my sense of being jealous, God. That has such a negative effect and impact on everyone around us. God, today that changes. Today that changes. And today, God, I want to overflow. I want to see all that you've given me and to be overwhelmed with great thanks. God, I want peace. I don't want to walk in anxiety and worry. God, I want joy. I want to be able to sing and shout with just a great joy because I'm amazed at all that you've done for me. And I'm so thankful. you would begin to ask God day after day after day. God, reveal to me all that you've done, that I would be thankful. Change my perspective. God, help me to see. Help me to see what I haven't seen before. Help me to see something in my wife that I have not seen, that God, that I can pinpoint. I can be so thankful for that. Let me see something in my husband that I have not yet seen, that God, in that I can be so thankful for. Help me to see, God, in my job that I haven't seen before. Open my eyes to it, God, that in that I can be so thankful. Folks, you approach it like that day after day after day after day after day. Your home will not be the same. Your marriage relationship will not be the same. Relationship with your children will not be the same. Will not be the same. Breakthrough, folks. That's a breakthrough.